Local watershed management coalitions are springing up across the state of Indiana. One such organization new to the game is the West Central Indiana Watershed Alliance. And as WFIU's Ariana Prothero reports, the impact of such organizations is felt downstream across America.
A watershed is an area of land that drains to a body of water. And you can actually think of them kind of like those Russian nesting dolls, where one stacks inside another and stacks inside another.
That's Lisa Holscher. She's the watershed coordinator for the West Central Indiana Watershed Alliance, or WCIWA. In her scenario, the smallest nesting doll is a mud puddle. Everything that flows into the mud puddle is that puddle's watershed. Water from the puddle then flows into the next larger nesting doll, say a ditch, which in turn drains into another doll, such as the Bousseron Creek in the Bousseron Watershed. That watershed then feeds into the Wabashes, which nests inside an even larger watershed, the Ohio River Basin. And finally, all of that feeds into the Mississippi.
By all these connections, anything that happens here in our little watershed, in that mud puddle's watershed, has the potential, through this whole nesting effect, to actually flow through down to the Gulf of Mexico. That's what a watershed is.
The WCIWA began as a coalition working to improve the water quality in the Bousseron Creek watershed through best management practices and educational outreach. Holscher's job encompasses a lot of different duties, but one important aspect is developing conservation packages or plans for farmers whose fields drain into her watersheds. Because the WCIWA is not a regulatory entity, all farmers who agree to work with Holscher are doing so voluntarily. To get farmers to sign on, she helps them identify issues affecting the water quality of streams on their property and then connects them with a corresponding government program. Holscher says success lies in appealing to a farmer's economic sensibilities.
I call it selling conservation because you've got to make it something these folks want to buy into, something all these farmers want to buy into that's going to make sense for their bottom line because they're businessmen.
Holscher says the two major objections she hears are cost and the amount of paperwork. She says conservation is not cheap, and the paperwork to sign up for various government programs is not easy to wade through. Owner and operator of Reedy Farms, Gary Reedy, is a fifth-generation farmer and has, with Holscher's help, recently signed on to a conservation program offered through the United States Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service. He already practices some environmentally friendly farming techniques, such as no-till, which reduces soil erosion. However, Reedy's interest was piqued by something called precision farming.
When the fertilizer company comes out and puts on fertilizer, they put it on with satellite maps, and the machines automatically adjust as they go and spread what you need where you need it.
Using precision farming techniques not only saves Reedy money, but also keeps excess chemicals out of the water. Farmers are also encouraged to create buffers of grass between their crops and streams to protect the soil and create habitat for wildlife. Although that tactic takes land out of production and can cost the farmer money. These are only a few alternatives available to Indiana farmers in the Bousseron watershed. But Reedy says it's hard to change a farmer who's set in their ways. School of Public and Environmental Affairs clinical professor Bill Jones says that changing generations-old habits is the next challenge for groups like the WCIWA.
Many behaviors we learned from our parents and from our grandparents. And while those family traditions might have been fine with 100-acre fields, but now that we've gone to bigger agriculture, you know, there's bigger issues.
Furthermore, Jones points out that farmers aren't the only ones who have chemicals running into the waterways. He says homes in urban areas contribute to the problem, too. And that's not all. There is still acid mine drainage, or highly acidic metal-rich water, seeping into waterways from abandoned mines, all of which eventually ends up in the Gulf of Mexico. The result of all this is something called the dead zone in the Gulf, a phenomenon currently being overshadowed by the BP oil spill. The dead zone is an area of low oxygen water surrounding the outfall of the Mississippi that cannot support marine life. Increased use of chemical fertilizers is cited as causing the depletion of oxygen in the Gulf's dead zone. Holscher says the task of addressing so many issues with such large consequences may seem daunting. But, she says, if you look at the situation in increments, look at the mud puddle instead of the Mississippi, the solution isn't that far off.
And if you take a lot of these little projects, and if you take all of these watersheds doing the same kind of work, we can really make a huge impact on what's going on nationally.
And as Holscher points out, everyone lives downstream from someone. For WFIU News, I'm Ariana Prothero.